You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. A few months ago, a national group named the San Joaquin River as the nation's most endangered waterway. It's not news to many here in Central California. The drought has even made the story more dramatic. There's one journalist right now who is on a bit of an experiential journalism quest. He's kayaking the San Joaquin River from the base of Fryant Dam to San Francisco Bay. His name is John D. Sutter with CNN. He joins us now on the telephone from Merced County. John, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell us where you're at right now and what's happening on your trip, which started on the 14th at the base of Fryant Dam.
So I'm in the Grasslands Ecological Region, I think in the state park right now. The lines sort of shift, but I'm at the part of the San Joaquin River just after it gets dry. I'm sure, you know, many of your listeners will realize that the San Joaquin does not, you know, make it to the sea. It doesn't make it to the Pacific Ocean. So I spent 3 days walking through a section of the river that was almost completely dry. And now I'm like kayaking in little spurts and then sort of dragging my boat across sections that are still relatively dry out here.
And along this journey, you're also talking to a lot of different people. You're talking to environmental advocates. You're talking to farmers. You're talking to local residents who live nearby the river. Take us through some of the people you've talked to, maybe first starting out at where the river is full of water and quite lush near Fryant Dam.
Yeah, no, my point in doing this is to try to meet everyone who depends on this river, and it seems like everyone does, regardless of how they, you know, how they think about it and how they speak of it. But yeah, I started up by Fryant Dam, where the river is, you know, very lively right now. There's a lot of water being released to certain farmers in the valley. And so, you know, it has some small white water. It's quick moving. It's ice cold. You know, it's just beautiful up there. I saw people fishing on Father's Day. I met several father-son pairs who were out on the water, you know, fishing. The first day, actually, I saw a wedding being set up on the banks of the river. I also saw a baptism occur in the river. So I've just been really surprised and happily amazed by how alive the river is, especially in that top section. You know, I came into this thinking like the San Joaquin is a dead river. It doesn't connect to the sea. It's disappearing. But one thing that I found, especially in the upper reaches near Fresno, is that, you know, people really do love this river and depend on it in ways that, you know, I found very surprising. And then so, you know, moving down from there, I met with a lot of farmers who obviously depend on the river for their livelihood, with farm workers who are sort of mystified by the state system of allotting water to some farms and, you know, none to others. I spent some time in a town with, you know, very high unemployment rates and, you know, and speaking to farm workers there. And then, you know, most recently I've been sort of on this slog through the stretch of the river that it's very sad to see, honestly, after seeing how majestic and beautiful the river is up top, to see, you know, where it dries out completely.
One of the things that continually amazes me living here in this area is how little the people who live in Central California, many of them at least, actually know about the San Joaquin River. You'll talk to some Fresno residents, they don't even know a river's there. You'll talk to some folks who don't really know where the water runs out. In fact, I probably couldn't tell you exactly where the water runs out. Can you describe that scene for us and what happens there when things begin to dry up? And where is that?
Yeah, so there's a structure called Sac Dam. You get past, so Fryant Dam is obviously the dam, you know, near Fresno. Then there's Mendota Pool, which I think of as like a switchboard for water. There are 20-some junctions there, you know, shuttling water both out of the river and into it. So most of the water that makes it past Mendota Pool, you know, actually isn't coming from the Sierra Mountains. It isn't coming from the San Joaquin River proper. It's being pumped in, you know, from Shasta Lake and then through the Delta and back up there. There's, you know, this incredible system of plumbing that makes all of this work or not work in some cases that California has put in place. So you get past Mendota Pool and the next sort of, you know, big structure on the river, and it's not actually that large, it's called Sac Dam. And it was named because it used to be just, you know, sacks of sand that farmers piled up to divert the river. But essentially, you know, from that point on, there is, you know, a quote diversion where all of the water that was in the river goes down a canal and the riverbed is more or less dry. It sort of leaks past the dam because the dam is old and it has wood boards. There is some water past that point, but about a half mile down the road I walked, and it dries up fairly quickly. And, you know, once it ends, it was a very, like, sort of eerie and sobering place to be. You see, you know, this blue water just sort of stop, and it, you know, becomes just like beach sand. And, you know, and that goes on for miles and miles and miles. I was sort of, you know, hoofing it through, you know, like sort of deep beachy type sand. And I don't know, it's a sad thing. And I hope it's something that people here, you know, realize, and people across the country do too. I think our rivers are disappearing without much alarm. And I find it shocking as an outsider that this is a river that doesn't connect to the ocean. I mean, it seems one of the basic concepts of the water cycle and, you know, how the natural environment works, that rivers would connect to the sea. And so I came into this, again, thinking, you know, that this was a huge problem. I've met people along the way that have complicated my view. You know, I've met farm owners and farm workers who say, look, the river is healthy up by Fresno. It's healthy where people could use it if they wanted to. And, you know, who cares if down here it's nothing but a ditch. You know, we need that water to grow food. One farmer actually kayaked with me for a day, and he told me that, you know, we're floating on food. Like, you know, instead of water, he sees that water as food, as a commodity, as a crop. And, you know, obviously that powers this region. So as I've gone down, it's only gotten more and more complicated. But what I can say is that I think all of us need to turn our eyes to the rivers. I think we, you know, cross over them on highways and don't give them a second thought. We don't travel by river anymore, you know, the way we once did. And I think that is part of the reason why they've become so damaged and altered, because people don't even notice.
If you just joined us on Valley Edition today, we're talking with John D. Sutter. He is a columnist for CNN Opinion and the creator of CNN's Change the List project. His latest adventure as part of that effort is to navigate the waters, or lack of water, in the San Joaquin River from the base of Fryant Dam all the way to San Francisco Bay. He is currently in Merced County in an area that is by and large dry. Walk me through how you're doing this. Are you dragging your canoe? Do you have a trailer? Do you have a support team? How is this working for you as a experiential journalist out there?
So right now I'm like sitting in the middle of some cattails on the side of the river, trying to get some shade and to stay out of the wind. But I've, you know, been dragging my boat sort of through the drier sections of the river today. I started it at Highway 165. I'm by myself right now. I've had a number of people joining me, and some of them, like, just, you know, found out about the project, thought it was interesting, care about this river deeply, and wanted to join me for a day or several. There's a group called Rivers for Change, and some volunteers from that group have joined me for longer than any other group. They're out ahead of me a little bit right now, you know, doing some of the river on their own. So it's been a mix of, you know, some people who have helped me with, you know, sort of shuttling boats around. But right now I'm sort of, you know, trying to go out on the river solo for a bit, and, you know, just me and the boat. And I have, you know, like a tent and food and water and all this stuff packed in it. You know, the logistics of it, like, in some ways it's a side to, you know, the real story that is the people, you know, in California who really do depend on this river. But it has been illuminating for me to just try to do this. Like, when I talked to the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, I asked them, you know, can I use a backpacker's pump and filter the water from the river and drink it, or do I need to carry water with me? And they said, one, no one had ever asked them that before, which I thought was telling, and two, that past Mendota Pool, that the river is too polluted with agricultural runoff to even filter or treat chemically and then drink. So I'm having to carry, you know, large amounts of water, which is probably the heaviest thing I have on my boat right now, you know, to make this work. I just, you know, 30 minutes ago, I saw a state park ranger who was standing up on a bluff, and he sort of called down like, hey, what are you doing down there? Like, not anything bad. He was just checking to make sure I was okay. But I think the people I've encountered are always surprised that there's someone on the San Joaquin River at all, like, you know, much less trying to, you know, connect it to the sea, because it's just something that, you know, that almost isn't possible.
Have you had anyone say, are you crazy?
Oh, my gosh. I've had almost everyone say, are you crazy? I think a lot of the Central Valley thinks I'm crazy. But I've had a lot of people say that they think that's a really neat idea, too. And they ask me questions about it. Like, when I pulled into Skaggs Bridge over, you know, last weekend, a week ago, in a kayak, I had kids running up asking, you know, what is this? Like, how does it work? Like, where's your, you know, paddle? I had a solar panel on the front to charge my phone, and, you know, they're asking me how that worked. And I, you know, I sort of spent a little time there talking to them. I think that there is a real interest and curiosity about, you know, the state's water and our country's water, where it comes from, where it goes. And that's, you know, one of the things that I'm trying to highlight.
I think I saw on your Twitter account, which is J.D. Sutter, and you can follow John on Twitter, and he has some great photos and a minute-by-minute almost account of his journey on the San Joaquin. Correct me if I'm wrong here. I think I saw someone you talked to, maybe it was in Fireball, who said they didn't even know that the river does dry up just a few miles away.
Yeah, there are people who don't know the river dries up. There are people who definitely don't know where it goes or where it comes from. I've been asking most people I encounter those questions just to get a sense of it. You know, the people who know that the best are farm workers. Like, if you ask a farm worker where, you know, there's this incredible and complicated system of canals out here. You know, you ask a farm worker, where is that water coming from or going to? They know with, like, great specificity, you know, where it's coming from, where it's going to, and why, what contracts are set up. I mean, I think that California's water system is just, you know, crazy complex. Like, when I met with the Bureau, they told me there is the possibility of one route that water could take would last 600 miles, basically, to get to the farms that it would need to go to. So I don't fault people for not knowing that this river dries up or for not knowing exactly where it goes. I think it's very confusing. And one thing I'm trying to do is make sense of that along the journey.
Speaking of making sense of it along the way, this is part of a project which I mentioned, Change the List, that you've been working on for some time now at CNN. What's the rationale there, and what do you hope to accomplish with your work? Is there going to be some big piece that comes of this? What do you hope to accomplish?
Yeah, so with Change the List, I basically try to shed light on bottom-of-the-list places and sort of root for them. I see these as underdog stories. The San Joaquin was ranked by, you know, American Rivers, as you said, as the most endangered river in the country. I've done other projects on the county in the U.S. with the highest level of income inequality, or the mammal that's the most illegally trafficked in the world. So these topics vary. Our readers actually, FCNN.com, vote on these issues. So they voted for a story on rivers, which I thought was pretty awesome. And then, you know, I find the bottom of the list place, so to speak, and then go there and try to advocate on its behalf. And I'm still in the middle of this journey, so I'm still trying to figure out what that means exactly and what the solutions are. I ask, you know, almost everyone I meet, like, what do you think can and should be done here? I get a range of answers, and often I get sort of a just sense of dismay, you know, that this river is so far gone. You know, can we save it? Should we save it? How much will that cost? Those are some of the questions I've heard, especially out in the agricultural areas. But my goal with the project is to try to bring a sense of hope, to bring a national audience to some overlooked places and overlooked issues. And so, you know, my hope is that this can be a positive thing for the Valley. It can get people talking and maybe bring some support or at least attention to the river.
You mentioned about saving this river, about turning it around. Do you hear any consensus about what that would even mean? We have the San Joaquin River Restoration Program. That's about bringing salmon back. I've heard some people say, well, salmon, that's a pretty high bar. You need a lot of water to keep it cold enough for salmon. Let's put water down the river, maybe, but let's do more of a warmer water fish, something like that. Are you hearing any consensus about what saving the river would mean?
Yeah, I don't think there is a consensus. I think there's a lot of disagreement, but I do think that there is quite a bit of common ground. Like, one thing I've been asking people about is whether they care about connecting the river to the sea again. And I had, you know, I talked to one guy from an irrigation district who told me, you know, he considers that to be this kind of like mystical blue line theory, and that it's nice as like a thought or as a philosophy, that rivers should connect to the ocean, but that, you know, that in this day and age with such water shortages and with climate change, that it's just not possible anymore. So, you know, I've heard that, version. I've heard people really from a range of backgrounds also, like including agriculture, including environmentalists, including just people I've met who say that they do want to see this river revive. They do want salmon populations back. And bottom line, you know, they want it to be a living river that connects, you know, to the ocean. So I've gotten a range of views. I think that there are some people who are really have their heels dug in on this issue, but I think that there are many more people who aren't necessarily advocates, but are affected by what's happening on the river in many ways, who do share like a common passion, you know, for this water, for this system, and really depend on it in a life and death kind of way. I mean, this water matters not just for industry. But like I said, I mean, for like spiritual purposes, I saw someone being baptized in it, you know, like it just matters to a lot of people in a lot of ways. And so I think I'm out here searching for common ground because I do think that that does exist. And I hope that is what emerges from this talk of restoration. But right now, yeah, I do hear a lot of friction and not as much consensus.
So what's next for you in your journey?
So from here, I'm hoping water magically reappears in the river. Like I said, I saw the state park ranger who's standing up on the bluff, and I asked him what's up ahead. And he said, well, looks like more of this for as far as I can see. So I guess I'm going to be dragging the boat for a while. But, you know, eventually the salt slough comes into the river, which doesn't sound too pleasant, but at least will be water. Then the Merced River, you know, joins back in. And I think from then on, I should have, you know, hopefully steadily flowing waters. I'm hoping to make it to San Francisco by July 4th and to pull in there on kind of this, you know, magic, you know, American holiday. We'll see. I've been on schedule so far. It's been really tough in a lot of ways. I'm not a kayaker. You know, I'm not an expert at any of this. I'm just a guy who's interested in this river and trying to learn as much about it as he can. So, you know, I invite people to follow along if for no other reason to see if I make it or see if I keel over out here somewhere.
Well, we certainly don't want to see that happen. Be safe out there, John. Our guest today has been John D. Sutter. He is a columnist for CNN Opinion and the creator of CNN's Change the List project. He is currently on a quest that takes him from the base of Fryant Dam, where he started on June 14th, and where he will hopefully wind up in San Francisco Bay on July 4th. He's currently in Merced County on a dry section of the river. You can follow John's work on Twitter at J.D. Sutter and also on Facebook and on CNN's website. John D. Sutter, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.